In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Welcome you all to St. Albert the Great in Austin, Texas, our live stream mass for our 10 a.m. My name is Father Charlie Garza. I'm the pastor here, and a great blessing to have you joining us today. We are about to enter into Holy Week, the holiest time of the year for our faith. But I would say we're also entering into a Holy Week, probably unlike any other Holy Week that we've experienced in our lives. With all those difficulties that we're having, especially as we reflect on the Passion narrative today, I encourage us to see this as an opportunity for us to offer any of those sufferings, those trials, those difficulties we're experiencing at this time, to unite whatever we're experiencing at this time with what our Lord experienced on the cross and what we'll be reflecting on during today's gospel. As we now prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us pause calling to mind our sins in a moment of silence. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie et eleison.
Christe eleison.
Christe et eleison. Kyrie et eleison. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My God, oh, why have you abandoned me? My God, my God. all who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips, they wag their heads. He relied on the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him. My God, my God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For our reading of the Passion Narrative, as I mentioned before Mass started, you can be able to follow along. We have a copy of our Passion that is the congregation's copy. If you go to the St. Albert the Great website, www.stalbert.org, and on our homepage, go to the live stream box. Right under that box, you'll see that we have a worship aid as the first document, and then the second document under that is where you can see the Passion and the congregation's responses. I'll invite you at home to be able to participate with us. So wherever you see a chorus response on that document, that will be where you can participate. If you have trouble finding that document, know that Teresa will be offering the chorus responses. And so anytime you see Teresa offer those chorus responses, you can also participate with her if you have trouble finding that document. Invite us to stand at this time.
Glory to you.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith shaken in you, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you have come for."
Then, stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hands on his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, through many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it.'"
The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply,
"He deserves to die."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapping him said,
"Prophesy for us, Christ, who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus of the Galilean."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are the one of them. Even your speech gives you away."
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you would deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, His betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned in betraying innocent blood.
They said,
What is that to us? Look to it yourself.
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood.
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why the field even today is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out of the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
You say so.
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. When they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffer much in a dream today because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said,
Let him be crucified.
But he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
Let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood.
And the whole people said in reply,
His blood is upon us and upon our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him of his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him in the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to be crucified, to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
this one is calling for Elijah.
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
wait, let's see if Elijah comes to save him.
But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit.
Invite us to kneel at this time and to take a moment of silence. Invite us now to stand as we continue.
And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus, feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
truly, this was the Son of God.
There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in a clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there, facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, after 3 days, I will be raised up, giving orders then that the grave shall be secured until the third day, lest his disciple come and steal him and say to the people, he has been risen from the dead. This last imposture would be worse than the first.
Pilate said to them,
the guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can.
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard.
I know you all can't see the view that I can see as I look towards the camera, but I see all the pictures that we have in our pews right now, and you have palms. So know that if you've been wanting palms and you have your picture, you've given your picture to us, there's a palm sitting right next to your picture right now. So props to Father Piega for coming up with that creative solution on this Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a way that we celebrate at the beginning normally the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, with that great praise of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's a great opportunity of how we can praise God and remember how when Jesus triumphantly entered, that he was being hailed as a king, that it was a time of great triumph. But then we just heard of the passion narrative and of how everything changed, how it seemed as if the one who was the symbol of so much hope for so many people was utterly defeated. I think with all that we're experiencing right now, perhaps before the recent stay-at-home orders, you were thinking to yourself, life was going pretty well. Maybe things had been going even very well. And it was like there was that moment of that triumph that was happening. And then all this other stuff has hit. And now it seems to have changed very quickly. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've had that moment of where you were excited that the kids were going to be home more, and now you're thinking to yourself, oh dear Lord, when is school going to start again? Maybe you've had that moment of being excited that your spouse would be able to stay at home and work from home, and now you're thinking to yourself, maybe this isn't as much fun, or you've started to have different areas of the house that are from this time to this time, you're not allowed to enter into this space. There are these different ways that we're struggling and we're trying to adjust to the reality we face right now. I would say all of us have some type of a passion that we're experiencing. I know that there are medical professionals who are working very hard right now, that they are having to make some very hard choices, that there's a passion that they're going through. These are the things in the moments of our lives where especially we offer this to God. And it's important when we experience this and to enter into the passion that we practice what the church calls relational prayer. Relational prayer is when we acknowledge whatever it is we're experiencing. So if we feel powerless, if we feel helpless, we acknowledge that. We literally say that to God. Or we say, I'm angry. We say, I'm sad. We say, we're lonely. We acknowledge what is it. So often as human beings, we don't take time to acknowledge what it is we're thinking, we're feeling, we're desiring, and that's when it overwhelms us. We don't acknowledge. So I encourage all of us to acknowledge whatever it is that we think, we feel, we desire, we want at this time. But then after acknowledging that, to relate that to God. Sometimes if the emotion is very strong, the way we relate it to God is we cry out to God. Literally, as we heard Jesus did, crying out to God the Father, my God, why have you abandoned me? That is a relational prayer. It expresses what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what it is we're wanting. So to relate that, sometimes it comes in anger with a yell, sometimes with sadness with a tear, sometimes with joy, with laughter. Whatever it is we're experiencing, we relate that to God. But then we receive, we listen then. What is it God wants to speak to us? And then we respond. It becomes a dialogue that we can enter into. And a very good way to pray with the passion, if you want to go back over the passion later, is to practice what's called imaginative prayer. Enter into the passion by taking on a particular character of the passion. So there are moments when I pray with the passion, and sometimes I'm a bystander. Sometimes I find myself just identifying especially with Jesus. Sometimes I find myself identifying more with Pontius Pilate, with Peter, with Judas, with the weeping women. I find that whenever we engage in imaginative prayer with the passion narrative, we enter in more fully. So I encourage you, if you've never prayed with the passion in that way, to do so, to see which character in the passion at this moment of your life are you especially drawn to, and see what happens. Enter into the passion by using your spiritual senses. What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste? What is it you hear from the accusations the crowd as Jesus is going through that passion? Maybe you're one of those that's weeping when Jesus is experiencing that. Maybe you're one of those that you are egging it on at that time. At different moments and stages of our lives, we enter into the passion in a different way. And just encourage using imaginative prayer in that way. During this Lenten season, we've been reflecting on the seven deadly sins. And the last of the deadly sins that we're reflecting on this week is the deadly sin of wrath and its false god of control. Each of the seven deadly sins has a false god that we put in the place of the one true God.
I think it's apropos that we are experiencing a lot of loss of control right now. There's a lot of things we cannot control with what's going on with the virus, with the different orders and responses, etc. And as human beings, whenever something is outside of our control, it's easy for us to react with anger. We can become angry at those moments. And anger is not a sin. It's not sin to be angry. Anger is a valid human emotion that God has given us. Even Jesus became angry, as is well documented in the scriptures, in particular in the cleansing of the temple. Wrath is different. Wrath is when we seek to take control. Jesus never sought to take control away from someone else by any kind of force, whether verbally or with physical actions. We sometimes, though, can fall into the deadly sin of wrath because we seek to exert control upon others. So, for example, you might find that there are certain things in your house that someone is moving or etc., and you're finding yourself getting a little bit more upset than normal. You're becoming a little bit more touchy, a little bit more sensitive. That's natural, because as we have places where we're not able to control, we tend to exert more control in the areas where we can, or sometimes we'll even start to step into someone else's area and seek control in that place to compensate for the way that we feel out of control in other areas of our lives. I know for myself personally that just as it's been hard these recent weeks for everyone, it's been hard for me. Probably the biggest cross that I've had to bear is when I've not been able to go and give last rites to pray for those who are dying, in particular in the hospitals. Twice now, I've had to offer the prayers I would normally offer in person over a telephone. And I'll be honest, there have been moments while, even though I understand why these particular procedures are in place, I've been angry at some of the hospital administrators or other individuals who made that decision, because I can't control it. But then in those moments, what I have to do is surrender control to God and to say, God, yes, this particular thing is outside of my control, but what is it that I can do? I can still pray for this person, both in intercession and praying over the phone. And God, make up for any ways that it's hard for me because I can't see or have that contact in that same way, or it might be hard for them that I'm not able to be there physically present. Make up for that, Lord. Even though this is outside of my control, it's not outside of your control, God. And that's the key when we face these situations, is we offer a prayer of surrender to God. If we surrender to God, we're able to move in the way that God would want in particular situations, and everything changes. New doors open up, new windows, new avenues, things we never would have been able to think of or to do ourselves, but once we surrender and we give that space, something else moves and changes. So I encourage all of us, whenever we face that place of not having control, to offer a prayer of surrender. One of my favorite ways to do that is to take a cross. And I remember those words that our Lord offered. My God, why have you abandoned me? That's what we can feel a lot of times. When it seems like we have a loss of control, that can be our response. We can feel abandoned, we can feel upset, we can feel sad. All those things that went through Jesus' heart and his human nature when he experienced the passion. We enter into it with Jesus in that moment by holding that cross. But then we have to remember, when Jesus died, he gave up his spirit. He surrendered to God the Father. Jesus never surrendered to Satan. He never surrendered to evil. He only surrendered to his heavenly Father. And when we hold that cross and we offer a prayer of surrender in our own way, that's what we do. We say, God, I am surrendering this situation, this circumstance, this person, whatever it is at this time that I can't control. I offer this. I surrender this to you. And once we do that, we give God permission to grant us a peace instead. Things change. Things shift when we offer a prayer of surrender. In many times, sometimes even miraculous ways. Because God does want to help us. God is most certainly present. And God has not abandoned or left us. Just we have to let go many times. And that is hard. As we enter into this Holy Week, I invite all of us to enter more fully into the Passion narrative with whatever it is that we have, to acknowledge, to relate these things to God, to receive and to respond as God would invite us. Maybe to enter into Scripture using imaginative prayer to see what character it is we especially identify with. And to remember that whenever something is outside of our control, anger is an okay response. It's normal, it's natural to be angry. But that we need to be on guard of not allowing anger to go into the deadly sin of wrath, and of when we feel out of control, of seeking to take control over others, but instead to offer a prayer of surrender, to imitate Jesus on the cross, of letting go to God. This time, invite you to stand as we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our King has entered the city. Our palms and cries of homage fade away as the words of the gospel tell the story of his suffering and death. Let us bring our prayers to the Father through the Son who gave his life for us.
For the church all around following the Savior during Holy Week, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For people of all races and nations who seek peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For all those suffering with illness, and for the doctors, nurses, and care workers who strive to heal and comfort them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For a spirit of penance, reflection, and gratitude during these chosen days, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For the gentle repose of the faithful departed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For the repose of the souls of parishioners of St. Albert the Great, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. Lord and Father, with serene courage, your Son went forth to die for us. Grant us a share in his strength as we bring these prayers before you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Normally at this time we would have our offertory collection, and if you haven't yet had a chance to sign up for our online electronic giving, would invite you to do so. Know that you can go to the St. Albert the Great website, www.stalbert.org, and you'll see that there is a link where one can click on donate, and it'll connect one to our online Vanco giving site. And in addition to the St. Albert the Great main offertory, would also invite you to also please consider supporting our Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We continue to get more requests for Society of St. Vincent de Paul than normal. They're about 50-60% higher right now, and I'm sure, unfortunately, that's going to continue to grow as more people experience the economic effects of everything that's happening to us right now. And we too, unfortunately, at St. Albert's also experienced some of those effects. We're about 70% of where we normally are. So we're experiencing about a third of a reduction of what we get. And we continue to offer those things to God, to trust, and to work to reduce expenses. So know that you can do that electronic giving by going to our homepage, that there's also a text to give option that we have instructions on our homepage. And if you prefer to mail in your envelopes, that's still perfectly fine. We have people to process that. Or if you prefer to drop off, there is a black mailbox by the Palermo office building facing towards the meditation garden, and one can drop off a physical. Thank you for your support.
Brothers and sisters, and my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hand for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church.
Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that though we do not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart.
We lift him up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with all the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration we too acclaim.
Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth, plenis Uncelli et Terra Gloria Tua, Hosanna in excelsis, benedictus qui
To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices, which we offer you firstly for your holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world. Together with your servant, Francis, our Pope, and Joe, our Bishop, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and Apostolic faith. Remember, Lord, your servants, and all gathered here, whose faith and devotion are known to you. For them we offer you the sacrifice of praise, where they offered for themselves and all who are dear to them, for the redemption of their souls and hope of health and well-being, and paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true, in communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon and Jude, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus, John and Paul, Cosmas and Damian, and all your saints. We ask that through their merits and prayers, in all things we may be defended by your protecting help. Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your whole family. Order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, As we celebrate the memorial of the Blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we are servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty from the gifts that you have given us, this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life, and the chalice of everlasting salvation. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abraham our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. In humble prayer, we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angel to your altar on high, in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us who through this participation at the altar receive the most holy body and blood of your Son may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing. Remember also, Lord, your servants who have gone before us with the sign of faith and rest and the sleep of peace. Grant them, O Lord, we pray, and all who sleep in Christ, a place of refreshment, light, and peace. To us also, your servants, who, though sinners, hope in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share and fellowship with your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints. Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon, through Christ our Lord, through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord. You sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to sing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Quit all is peccata mundi, miserere nobis. On your stay, quit all is peccata mundi.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
This time invites you to join me in the prayer of an act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you are already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. This time, invite us to have a moment of silence as we pray for all those that are in need of healing from the coronavirus or those who are ill, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually, for the protection of all medical professionals, as well as for all those that are often in the background that help keep our society moving, for their protection, and for all those who have lost their jobs, and for all those who are furloughed or underemployed. For all these intentions, we pray.
Let us pray. Nourished with these sacred gifts, we humbly beseech you, O Lord, that justice through the death of your Son, you have brought us to hope for what we believe. So by his resurrection, you may lead us to where you call. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this live stream today. Please know that our complete Holy Week schedule is on the St. Albert the Great homepage. And our Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday daily masses will proceed as normal, but then on Thursday we begin the Triduum, so Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil have different schedules. On Easter Sunday, we'll continue to have our same live streams, and please also know that on Easter Sunday, we'll be having a special interaction opportunity of offering special blessings, so you can see more information about that special Easter Sunday offering on our social media and on our website. Please know that we miss you very much. Know that you're in my prayers. Ask you to continue to keep me in your prayers. And I keep praying for that day when we'll be able to be with each other face to face once again.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. Bow down for the blessing.
Look, we pray, O Lord, on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be delivered into the hands of the wicked and submit to the agony of the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God.